Boker Tov, and welcome to the final shiur. Yesterday was the opening shiur of the second parak of Masachat Moed Katan. The astute observer will also notice that this is, I believe, the first parak we've encountered where there have been absolutely no quotes from Tanakh in the entire parak. In any case, we have Mishnah Gimel, which is on Daf Yod Bet Amud Bet. Machnis Adam Perotav Mneha Ganavim. So a person has fruit outside in his courtyard, and he's afraid people are going to come and steal it. He can bring it into the house. He can also pull flax out of the soaking vat so that it shouldn't be lost. In other words, again, things that are going to be lost. As long as you don't plan it so that you'll have to do it on the moed. And what happens? In any of these cases, if you actually plan to do it on chol hamoed, then yovdu. And then you come and ask the rabbi, and you say, Rabbi, I left time aside, chol hamoed, am I allowed to put my fruit away and hide it, or pull my flax out of the vat? And the answer is, no, it's lost. Tana, uvavad sheyachnisei metzina l'toch beito. So we have one caveat here, which is that you have to put this fruit into your house discreetly. Rav Yosef havelei kashure, Rav Yosef had some boards, aylinu b'yamama. He brought them into his house, dafka, during the day. Amar Abaye, so Abaye said, so he was clearly bringing this in a chol hamoed, and evidently because he was afraid something would happen to them, they'd be damaged or stolen. And Abaye said, but you're supposed to bring them discreetly, and during the day is not discreetly. When I'd seen it, the discretion of these is your mama who is dafka during the day. Why? Came with the Belel Yabau Gavri Yateri, because if I was to bring these boards in at night, I'd need more men. And then I would need some torches so they could see their way. Av Shemilta, then it becomes a big, loud thing. Everybody notices it. So Dafka, by bringing it during the day, is the quietest way I can do it. Good. The second half of the second case in the Mishnah was Shalepish Tanomina Mishra. So Baumina Rabbi Yirmiyam Rabbi Zera. Very interesting question. Kiven Malachtova Moedu Meit. Let's say that a guy did the wrong thing. And he said, you know what? I'm going to put my flax in just before Yontif. And I'll take it out on Chol Hamoed, because I'm allowed to do that. In other words, he planned it that way, which means he's not allowed to do it. But let's say he died on Yontif, and now his children want to save all this flax. We say, Maoshiye yikansu banav acharav, or his children find, with the same fine that the father got. And let's play around with this. Talmud lo imtim tzolomar, we've got a indication that they are fined. Where's that? Saram ozen b'chor kansu b'no acharav. Let's say that a man owns an animal that's a b'chor, and he wants to turn it into a balmum, into a blemished animal, so that it can be eaten. And so he busts the ear, he hurts the ear. Then he dies. His son is also fined. He cannot benefit from the animal. Why? Mishum nisura doraita. Maybe there because meita mum kodshim, blemishing an animal that is kodshim, is an isur doraita. So maybe there's an extra heavy fine there because the father violated a doraita. The other case we know of, where a son is fined for the wrongdoings of his father, is if his father sells his Eved Kanani to a guy, then when the Eved runs away, the son is fined, and the father is fined, that he has to redeem him back. So the son is also fined, he has to redeem him back. Why is that? Because every day that this Eved, who is now Chayav Mitzvot, is living with the non-Jew, he's not able to do mitzvot. So it's a very serious issue. Question is, how serious is our issue? Hachamai. So here's the question. Gavra kanis rabbanan, did the rabbis find the man, v'halete, and he's dead? In other words, is it on the person who did the wrong action? Odilma mamona kanis rabbanan, or did they find the property and say, that flax is now fined, as it were? V'haite, and the flax is around. So Amalei Tenitua, we have a statement, Sadesh Nid Kavtzaba Shvi'it. Let's say that a field was wrongfully dethorned during Shemitah. Tizarala Motzei Shvi'it. Then it was allowed to be thorned. Then you're allowed to plant it after Shemitah, even though it was prepared on Shemitah. Nityavali Daira, let's say it was fertilized or in some other way, watered or something. Lo Tizarala Motzei Shvi'it. Then you're not allowed to do it because you did the wrong thing on Shemitah, you're fined. Let's say that you watered the field properly or prepared the field properly and you died. Vnozorai, your son is allowed to plant it. In other words, you're fine, not the field. So you see that the knas is only on him, not on his son. Should be the same thing with the flax. He's fined, his son is not fined. Rabaye, and Rabaye gives the second proof, Natinan time taharotavu meit. Normally, if a person takes somebody else's taharot, and he's metame them, in other words, he touches them while tame, or touches them to a tame thing, which means there is no visible damage to them, and yet they are unusable as taharot, he has to pay him. But we know that if you're metame taharotav of somebody else, and you die, lokatsu ben acharav, the son doesn't have to pay. My time, my hezek sheno nika lo shme hezek, because actually it's not technically nezek, because it's not visible nezek. So the entire payment is a knas to rabbanon, is a fine. So the day counts rabbanon, the very low counts rabbanon. So they only find him; they didn't find the son. In other words, we see that in those cases where the rabbis find the person for violating a law which is a rabbanon law without the heavy consequences of the eved, then it's only the person who did it who violated, not his son. Good. Next mishnah: Ein lokhin batim avadim uvehimah letzorach hamoed. You're not allowed to buy houses, slaves, animals, major purchases, unless it's for the moed. You know, you suddenly have a lot of guests and you're about to buy this house and now you need it to put your guests in or something like that, then it's letzorach hamoed. Oh, letzorach hamocher she'en lo mayochal. Or if the seller has nothing to eat and he has to sell it to get some liquid assets, then you can buy it from him. Now, ba'amine rav and rav Nachman, he asked the following question. Schar pu'la she'en lo mayochal mahu. What if a guy has nothing to eat? Can he hire himself out? He doesn't have anything to sell, but he has his labor to sell. Can he hire himself out to make money in order to feed himself? Amar le tanina o letzorach hamocher she'en lo mayochal. He said, Rav Nachman said, we have our Mishnah that says that you can sell property for somebody who has no food. Latuye mai, lav latuye schar pula. Isn't that extended statement, she'en lo letzorach hamocher, added she'en lo mayochal, meaning anyone who has nothing to eat can sell, whether it's their goods or their labor, their services. So Amar Leilo, Rava said, no, that's not what it means. Prusha Kemafarish, the end of the Mishnah, simply explaining what kind of a mocher can sell his stuff? Somebody who needs to eat. So Eitave Abaye then challenged this and said, Ein kotvin shitrecho b'moed. We have a Mishnah later on that says you're not allowed to write, as a sofer, you're not allowed to write loan documents. On Chol HaMoed, v'im eino ma'mino, o she'eino ma'yochal, let's say you need to borrow the money. And you don't, and the lender does not trust you, so you need to write it. Or the sofer needs something to eat. Harezi yichtov, he's allowed to write so he can get some money for his work and he can eat. Why did they add that phrase in? Lav latuye schar pula, isn't it there to teach you that you can also sell your labor? Shmamina, you see it works. Good. Motiv Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet challenges by saying, Shalosh umniyot osim melacha be'arvei psachim ad chatzot. There is a minig mentioned in the Masechet Psachim, at the beginning of the fourth parak, the places where they have the minig not to do work on the 14th of Nisan in the morning. Chachamim said, but there's three kind of workmen who may do the work in the morning. Hachayatin, vasaparin, vakufsin. Tailors, and barbers and launderers. Hachayatin, why are they allowed to? Shekain, hadyot, tofer, kareko, b'chol ha-shamoid. After all, we already saw in the Mishnah that a regular person is allowed to do some sewing on chol ha-moid, right? And asaparin v'akovsin, why barbers and launderers? This we're going to see on Sunday in the next parak. Shekain, abayim datayam, atzim b'tasurin, v'tarin zapeh l'chaveh, b'chol ha-shamoid. If somebody was in prison, or was on a journey or something, and they arrived just before Yontif, and they had no time to get cleaned up for Yontif, they were allowed to, on Chol HaMoed, take a haircut and do laundry, etc. Again, we'll deal with this in the next shiur. Which means that we'd say there's only three things you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed that therefore allow you to do them on Erev Pesach. But if you think that a person can sell his services, then Kol Melachot Nami Lishtori, that means that everything is potentially Mutar on Chol HaMoed, because if I'm machine shop repairman, if I'm a machinist, if I'm a blacksmith, whatever I am, theoretically I could be working Chol HaMoed if I need what to eat, which means the malacha is not inherently out of bounds. And therefore everything should be mutar on Erev Pesach. Right? Papa says that's silly, that's his reductio. Lemiata binyan lishtari, so you should be able to build on Chol HaMoed. That would mean that you could build on Erev Pesach, because after all, if a wall is collapsing, as we saw in the first parak, if a wall is collapsing into the Reshut HaRabim, you're allowed to tear it down and rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. So that's Mutar. Marco Avino, Avino gives another reductio. Lemiata lavlar lishtari. Therefore, a sofer should be able to write. Shekain kodvin kiddushin hashem kitim shovarin. There are certain things we'll see in that mishnah in the third parak that you are allowed to write on chol hamoed, kiddushin, etc., gittin, right? Which means, according to you, anything that ever has a potential of being acceptable on chol hamoed should be automatically okay on Erev Pesach. That's ridiculous. So therefore, your proof that you can't hire yourself out on chol hamoed from the fact that we don't allow every malachah on Erev Pesach doesn't work. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi clarifies, Moed Arba'asa Karamit, you're challenging, finding a contradiction between chol hamoed and the 14th of Nisan. Moed Mishum Tirchahu, there the concern is Tircha, too much labor. Makom Pseda Sharabanan, whenever there's a great loss, the Rabbanan allowed some labor. Arba'asar, what's the concern about doing malachah on Erev Pesach? There it's not about Tircha. Shud Tzorach Yom Tov, you should be totally focused on things that are needs of the Yom Tov. Midi Tzorach Yom Tov, Sharabanan, Midi Lav Tzorach Yom Tov, Sharabanan, only those things which are Tzorach Yom Tov did the rabbis allow. Therefore, they took the cue from what things you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, which are Tzorach HaMoed. This is not Tzorach HaMoed. Where you're saying you're allowed to work in order to make money so that you can put food on the table if you don't have the means otherwise. Good. The next Mishnah, which continues really as a piece of the previous Mishnah, you're not allowed to schlep things from one house to another, boxes and grain, etc. But you are allowed to put it out into your courtyard. So the real question here is, are you allowed to schlep or not? It's not an issue of reshut, of carrying, hotzah, etc. You're not allowed to bring vessels back from the artisan's house. That means it could be a dry cleaner who fixed them, it could be a potter who fixed your jug or whatever. You're not allowed to bring it back. But if you're concerned that they're not going to be safe there, then you can take them to somebody else's yard, but you can't bring them home. Now, the opening line of the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to move things. And then it said you're allowed to move them to a chatzer. So Abaya seifatan the bayit sheba chatzer. What the seif is referring to when it says, fanehu lachatzer, you can move it to your chatzer, means from one house to another, like from a house to a shed, or from one shed to another in your chatzer. That you're allowed to do. When you're not allowed to bring it from another house to your house, or another chatzer to your chatzer, that's the problem. Good. The second part of the Mishnah said, "Ein levi'in kelim beito oman." You're not allowed to bring things back from the artisan's house. Our Papa badik lan Rava. Rava checked us. He tested us by throwing a curveball. Tan ein levi'in kelim beito oman. He quoted our Mishnah. You're not allowed to bring vessels from the artisan's house on Chol HaMoed. Or Amina, we have a challenge. Lechinu levi'in kelim beito oman ve'af bisha inan l'tzorach HaMoed. You're allowed to take things to the artisan and bring things back, even though they are not Tzorach HaMoed. Shaninamlein, here's what we told him back to reconcile the problem. Kan bi'arbasar, kan b'chulosh HaMoed. The statement you just quoted is not talking about Chol HaMoed, it's talking about Erev Pesach, and on the 14th, you're allowed to take things to the artisan, you're allowed to bring things back from him, even if they're not needed for the Moed. Another answer is both cases are Chol HaMoed. Kan b'mamino, kan b'she'ino mamino. If you, the second statement is talking about a case where you don't trust the artisan, and therefore you need to get it back before long. You have to take it back right away because you're afraid if you come back after Chol HaMoed, he's going to say you never gave it to me. V'hatanya mevin kelim beit ha'oman gon kan beit ha'kadar v'chosim beit ha'zagag. You're allowed to bring a potter from the kiln, some pot from the potter. Kosbi made a zagag. You can bring a glass from the glazier. Lotzer made tzabab. You cannot bring wool from the dyer's place. For lokelim made ta'uman. There's probably dry cleaning. Ein lo mayochan otem lo scharo. But if the artisan needs food, then you could pay him. And you can leave it there. If you may no mamino, and if you don't trust him, that when you come back, he'll say, oh yeah, you paid for it. Then you take it and you put it in another house nearby, but you don't bring it home, because then it looks like you did the work on Chol HaMoed. And if you're afraid that they'll be stolen from that other house, you put it in somebody else's backyard, but not your own. And if you can't trust any of those people, then you bring it discreetly home. All right, so that proves to us that when you don't trust him, then we allow you to take it. But the only problem is that our original braita that Rava used to challenge us said not only can you bring it home, but you can also take it to the Uman. Now that's very strange. How do you explain that? Why in any case are you allowed to bring it to the artisan? Tani Inavin, Vachotchkin Shane Molachin. We said, certainly, you can't bring it home. Certainly, you can't take it to the Uman. And the Chvartik at Ashana Mikar, we have to go back to our original answer, which is that Bright is talking about the 14th. The 14th, there's no Isser of Malacha. There's just a thing about focusing on Tzorach HaMoed. Therefore, you're allowed to take it to the artisan and bring it back. Good. The last mission we have in the Perek. Let's say you have dried figs, pressed figs that are dried, and you're afraid now it's going to start raining. You're afraid it's going to rain. You're allowed to cover them with straw. He said you can do me'abin, which literally means to thicken. We'll see what that means. Second clause. People who sell fruit, ksud v'kelim, or sell clothing or vessels, they can sell things that are needed for Chol HaMoed, but they have to sell discreetly. Hatsayadin v'dashoshot v'garosot. Sayadin are trappers. Dashoshot and garosot are different kinds of threshers. One who threshes wheat, that's dashoshot. Garosot who shuck beans. Osin v'tzina l'tzorach ha-moed. They can work discreetly if it's things needed, food that's needed for the moed. Yossi omer mechumi ral atzman. Rabbi Yossi says they are machmer on themselves. Now this phrase is a little bit hard to decipher. Does he mean they were machmer on themselves and by acting discreetly? Or does it mean that they didn't even act discreetly, they didn't work at all as a chumrah? So let's see. Let's start with the first point. What is me'abin? Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yasi. We have machloket. Tavayi mishvedo Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Quoting their teachers, Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. Charam ar mechapin akluche me'abin asmuche. One of them said mechapin, which is Tanakama's position, means just to cover. And me'abin, which is Rabbi Yehuda's position, is to cover thickly. Put a lot of straw on. Charam ar, the other pin was, Mechapin ben aklushi ben asmuchi is thick or thin cover. Ma'abin, what's ma'abin? Ose oto kamin kri, to actually turn the figs into like a granary pile. Ma'achim ma'abin ose oto kamin kri to Rabbi Yehuda. We have a braita that supports that second read. Rabbi Yehuda said, ma'abin, meaning you could turn the thing into really a pile, almost like a pile of grain. Good. The next clause said, mochre perok sud v'keli mochrin b'tzina. They could sell discreetly. Zibayelu, heina chmira latzvan. What is the chumrah? I just asked this a minute ago. So the Havu Avdu Klal, they wouldn't sell at all? Or Dilma, the Havu Avdu Betzinor, perhaps the selling discreetly was the Chumrah. Toshma, Mochre Ferod, Ksud, Vechelim, Mochre, Metzina, Letzorach, HaMoed, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tagare, Tiberia. So the first part of the Braita quotes our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says, Tagare, Tiberia, the salesman in Tiberia. Hinechmir, Latzman, Shlom, Mochre, Kolikar, they wouldn't sell anything at all. Sadei Chayot, Velfod, Vedagim, Tzadin, Metzina, Letzorach, HaMoed. Second statement is that hunters and fishermen can work discreetly on Chol HaMoed. The fishermen in Akko, the port city, were machmer on themselves not to fish at all. Chilka targis v'tisane. These are three kinds of grains, or three ways of breaking down grain that they would thresh. Doshim v'tzinah l'tzorach HaMoed. They can thresh, if it's for purposes of the Moed, all of these are for purposes of the Moed, they can thresh the grain discreetly. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Dashushe Tzipori, Nechmir Latzman, Shlo Yudoshin Kolikar. So Rabbi Yossi reports from his own hometown that in Tzipori, the threshers would not thresh at all. They were machmir. So Amar Abaye, so now what we see is that Rabbi Yossi, when he says Hey Mechmiro, means they didn't even do it discreetly. Parenthetically, we explain what these different kinds of grains are. Amar Abaye, Chilka, Chara Latarte, Targis, Chara Latlat, Tisane, Chara Larva. Abaye says that the three kinds of things that these guys would shuck was the same grain. It was whether you broke it into two parts, three parts, or four parts. Ki atar Avdimi Amar, Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he gave the following, said, he said, kunta. He said that really this is a particular kind of grain. Chilka is kusemet, it's a kind of spelt. So now, meitave, we have a challenge against Avdimi. Chilka, targis, fetisani, our three categories. Tvein b'chomakom, they're always tameh. So bishlam alaman rachad alatar didlat l'arba, according to Abai, who said that it's always regular grain that's cut into two, three, or four parts. I understand why they're tamei. The it kashur, they already became mukshar the tuma because when you cut them up, they became wet, and now they become tamei. Madam Akudda, according to Ravdimi, who says that it's kusemet, why are they always tamei? They could still be in their shell. How you call it kashur? They're not mukshar. So the answer is kugani makalfan. They're talking about where they're already peeled. The lav the shar lubamai. If you hadn't soaked them in water, lo have makalfi. When you want to shuck beans or spelt, you have to first soak it in water, so it's already mukshar l'tumah. It's already able to get tumah. But my kar lechilka, so why do they, according to Rav Dimi, why do they call kusemet chilka? To shak al chilkayu, right? Because when you take the peel away, it's suddenly very smooth, chalak. Now, Meitav, we have a challenge against this. Hanodim in Adagan, there's a Mishnah in Nedarim. If you, it's a statement from Nedarim, if you take a neder not to have Dagan, grain, Asur afapula mitzri yavesh, you're not allowed to have dry beans, umutar balach, but you're allowed to have wet beans, umutar ba'orish, you're allowed to have rice. V'chilka v'targis v'tisanit. Right, so based on the manu chadalatar chadalatlar chadalar ba, according to Abaye, it works shapir. To not forget me hard to have dagan. The minute you broke it up in little pieces, they're not called dagan anymore. Manda mar kunta, but according to Rav Dimi, who says it's kunta dagan maliyahu, it's regular grain. Kusemet is a grain. So kasha, you're right. Rav Dimi's challenge. Okay, the very last statement in the parak is as follows: Ravuna sharlu lahanu kufaita lemezal lazavuni ki urchayu b'shuka. Ravuna allowed the spice salesman to sell in the normal fashion in the shuk. Eitir Rav Kana challenged him, Chanup tucha listav potech v'nol kadarko. If you have a store on Chol HaMoed that's open to an alley, it can sell in a regular fashion. Tucha l'shut rabim, if it's open to the public domain, potech achad v'noel achad. It opens up only one door. V'yav yom tov achar and shalchag, but on the last day of Chol HaMoed, motzi, takes all the fruit out, u'me'ater tshukei ha'ir v'feirot v'shvol kvod yom tov acharon, and puts fruit all over the city so it's beautiful for the last yontif. So obviously you're only allowed to do proper normal selling of food on the last day of Chol HaMoed to make the last part of Yom Tov beautiful. So Lokasha, what was the answer? Habaferi, Habatavlin. The prohibition you're talking about is fruit, because fruit are generally bought in large quantities, and therefore they have to purchase on Erev Yom Tov a large amount, and therefore Chol HaMoed you must sell very discreetly. But spices, which in seasonings, which you can never really measure the amount, you have to buy more and have to add something else, that he allowed them to buy in a normal fashion, sell in a normal fashion on Chol HaMoed. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and on Sunday, Mitzvah Hashem, we will begin the third and final parak of Moed Katan.